This is Fresh Air. Hume Cronyn and Jessica Tandy make up one of America's most famous acting couples. Jessica Tandy's most recent fame comes from her starring role in the Academy Award-winning film Driving Miss Daisy. My guest, Hume Cronyn, co-starred most recently in Cocoon and its sequel, Cocoon the Return. Tandy and Cronyn have been married for almost 50 years and have worked together in movies and plays for many of them. Hume Cronyn's film career goes back to the early 40s. He worked with Hitchcock on a number of films and wrote the screenplays for such films as Rope. He's also directed and produced for stage, film, and television. Hume Cronyn grew up in Canada, where he had a privileged Victorian upbringing.
In some respects, it was very rich, and certainly it was comfortable. I was very fortunate in that I was born into very comfortable circumstances. But life was, I thought, my going into the theater was rebellion in part. I thought it was stuffy and narrow. There was a procedure about everything. Everything was done in a certain fashion and manner. And manners were very important. Ideas, I think, were inclined to be ossified. They were formal, and that's what one did. One did do this, one did not do that. One behaved in a certain fashion, and it was unthinkable to behave differently.
Was there any kind of comfort in that sort of order?
For instance,
you write about Christmas Day. I mean, the kind of how that day progressed was almost out of a manual in a way.
Well, that's right. But it was tremendously comfortable. I mean, it was even in a way luxurious. But the pattern had been set years before, and you stuck with that pattern. There wasn't a great deal in life that, you know, from my point of view, I kicked all that when I went off to university, and from university went right to New York. And there, my life couldn't have been more different.
Coming from this well-known and wealthy Canadian family, what was their reaction when you told them that you wanted to be an actor? I think they wanted you to be an attorney.
When I actually said, this is what I want to do, and I was already at university, and I wanted to leave after my freshman year. My father was ill and really couldn't join in the conversations about what I was going to do with my life. My two older brothers, much older, 17 and 18 years older than I am, both gone now, but they had the responsibility with my mother of deciding just which direction I was going to take. And one of my brothers, to whom I was absolutely devoted, we were a very close family, turned to me during this conversation in which I talked about going into the theater, and he said to me, Hume, how many years do you think you can afford to waste? That was a chiller, and I was furious.
Did that make you want to reconsider your decision?
Oh, no, just had the opposite effect. And I got up and I walked away from the meeting. And we were sitting out in the garden having afternoon tea, which was just one of many rituals in the household. And I just walked out of the garden and away down the street and walked for 2 or 3 hours, had dinner somewhere, came home, and my mother's light was still on. And she called to me when I came in and she said, you mustn't be angry with them. They're only worrying about your welfare. And then she said, I'll make a bargain with you. If you'll go back to college for one more year, finish your sophomore year, and you still want to do this, she didn't say mad thing, but I'll see to it that you go to either the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London, England, or the American Academy of Dramatic Art in New York. I didn't suspect she even knew those two institutions existed. But I think she'd done a lot of thinking about it. I think she'd seen which way I was leaning, and I think she'd made a considerable number of inquiries.
What was your attraction to acting?
Escape, I think. I led what psychiatrists would call a very rich fantasy life. I was so much younger than my brothers and sisters that I was brought up, in one sense, almost like an only child. I wasn't born until my mother was 45. I was alone, and I was shipped off, not unkindly, by the way, but I was shipped off to boarding schools when I was just 7.
You came to New York City in order to make your mark in the theater, and a casting director said to you, "You don't look like anything." Did that give you a kind of freedom then to explore, and others maybe to give you that kind of freedom to explore a whole range of characters?
At the time, it just shocked me deeply. she was actually, she didn't know that she would scar me when she said it. She was actually trying to be very kind and understanding. She said, "Mr. Cronin, I think I should tell you that you may have a difficult time." Yeah. And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you don't look like anything." That's not the kind of comment you forget. And then, feeling that she might have been offensive, she immediately covered her tracks very nicely and said, I mean that your best chances of getting a job with nothing but an amateur's experience would be to walk into an office where they are looking for just your type." And she said, "I don't know what your type is. Your accent is not just like ours on this side of the border. And you dress rather differently, very nicely, of course, but differently. I find it hard to know just who's going to say, 'Ah, that's exactly what we're looking for.'"
What kind of roles did you have then early on in your career?
Name it.
You did it.
And yeah, that's been I played all sorts of things.
And that's really continued.
And most of them are a great deal older than I actually was. I mean, I've gone the whole gamut now from when I started. It was, "I'm afraid you're too young. I'm afraid you're too young. Oh, but you look so young. But you're very young." Now, of course, it's, "But you're a bit old, aren't you?" We think we should have somebody younger. They're careful about saying that. When you're young, nobody minds saying to you, "You look too young." Mm. When you're old, they hesitate to say, "You look too old."
Hume Cronin is my guest, and he has had a career in theater, film, and television, and he's worked as an actor, writer, director, and producer, and he's just written a book about his life. It's called A Terrible Liar. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Actor Hume Cronin is my guest. You moved out to Hollywood, and I believe one of your early films was an Alfred Hitchcock film called A Shadow of a Doubt. You write that it was really the beginning of a new life for you. What was it like to work with Hitchcock?
Well, it was a marvelous experience. I think I learned a great deal from him. I admired him tremendously. He took me to California. He gave me my first film job, and I appeared in two films he directed, Shadow of a Doubt and Lifeboat. And then I wrote the treatment of two films for him, Rope and Under Capricorn. And we became good friends and remained so until he died. He was a fascinating character. And of course, I've never met anybody who knew so much about making film as he did.
You even write that he seemed to enjoy tremendous technical problems, that those were kind of a challenge to him.
Exactly. I mean, films like, for instance, consider how the problems of making a film like Rear Window, which is tremendously successful, where everything had to be shot from the point of view of Jimmy Stewart looking through that window into an apartment across the alley. That limitation would have driven 99.9% of other directors away from the script altogether. They wouldn't have even attempted it. The birds, I mean, the problems involved in handling the birds, I'm talking about the live birds in that film, were enormous. In Rope, which to which I did the treatment, he decided that the nature of the story should be told almost in its own time, as it were, and in one situation. So we stayed inside one room, and we shot. Every take was the length of a reel of film, which was at that time about 20 minutes. And the film had to be very, very, very carefully rehearsed. There were no takes of, 15 seconds or 2 minutes or 3 or 4 minutes. Once you started, you were on for 20 minutes, and if you blew it, you had to go right back and start the reel over again. That sort of thing seemed to fascinate Hitchcock. He was a master of almost every aspect of filmmaking.
You have collaborated with your wife, Jessica Tandy, really from just about the beginning of your acting careers.
Well, working with her has been an absolute delight. Speaking generally, it doesn't always go smoothly any more than marriage does. I mean, it's a tough contract to live up to, marriage. And it's a tough contract in the theater to work with somebody over and over and over again. I mean, asking these questions, how would you like it if every question you asked, someone else was listening and thinking she didn't ask that question quite right, or she could have asked it better, or she shouldn't have asked it at all. And you never were free of your job without someone standing over your shoulder and perhaps giving you another opinion, or standing behind you and patting you on the shoulder. I mean, it works both ways. But you work together, share the same bed, the same breakfast table, same rehearsal hall, the same performance, same stage, same supper, week after week, month after month, year after year. If you're lucky enough to be in a hit and it runs that long, it can become trying. And where Jessie is so wonderful is that she understands the need for some degree of separation, some degree of escape, some degree of aloneness. I don't mean loneliness. I mean being left alone.
You've been in, certainly on the stage, television, movies. Do you have a preference for one of those mediums over another?
Yes, the theater.
Why?
The stage. Oh, because I think it's the most difficult. Because it's the greatest challenge, because I have a far greater degree of control. Once the curtain goes up in the theater on the stage, it's up to the actor. Nobody can meddle. There's no cutter, no editor, no director who can change anything. The director makes an enormous contribution, if he's any good, when you're rehearsing. But once it's turned over to you and it's just you and the audience, it is just you and the audience.
Hume Cronin, thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
You're welcome.
Actor Hume Cronin, he's just written a memoir called A Terrible Liar. This is Fresh Air.